Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Hallelujah. Are you glad to be here this morning? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for life. Thank you for strength. Thank you for health. Thank you for the blood that runs through us. Thank you for a Sunday like this. Oh God, we made it our tradition and our custom to come into your house. For the Bible says, in your presence there is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. David said that it's better to be a porter in your house than to do anything, any other thing out there. A day in your courts, he says, is better than 1,000 out there. Thank you for everyone who is here this morning. I pray you speak to our hearts. You speak to our hearts. You affect our minds and our spirits, and that you not allow us to leave your presence the same as we came. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. And somebody said, amen. You may be seated, please, in the presence of the Lord. Our scripture for the week. You've been doing some heavy scriptures. I think we're going light this today. Amen. Oh, I said amen. Amen. Wonderful. So we'll look at the scripture for the week. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Mark chapter 11 and verse 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Mark chapter 11 and verse 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, whatsoever things ye desire, when ye believe, when ye pray, believe that ye receive, and ye shall have. Matthew chapter 11, verse 24. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, that what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive, and ye shall have. Amen. So we want to say it about 1, 2, 3, 4 times, and then somebody will tell us and we'll move on. Amen. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Ready? Let's go. Believe that ye have them and ye shall have them. Hey. One more time. One more time. You're not. Why? Are you hungry? Anybody hungry this morning? You should have drunk tea before coming. Except if you're in the spirit. One more time. Ready? Let's go. Mark chapter 11 and verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever you desire. When you pray, believe that you receive. One more time. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. I say unto you, whatsoever you desire.
When you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have.
Believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Isn't it? All right. So he's going to say it. One person very quickly. It's a good morning, isn't it? Let's try. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Prince wants to help us. Too much high, brother. You should know by now. Yeah, Prince. He likes the easy ones. Go ahead, Professor.
Mark chapter 11 and verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have.
That's right. I say unto you, whatever is in your heart, when you are praying, you must believe that you have them, and you shall have it. You get it? No, think about it like a story. I say unto you, anything you want, when you are talking to me, you must believe it, and it shall be like that. That's how the verse is broken down. Amen. This morning, we want to start something very fresh. Amen. How many of us like fresh things? Okay. So we want to go to Matthew, fresh anointing. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 33. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 33. So when you go home, go over it. Mark 11, 24. Okay. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 33. Let's do 31. Let's start from 31. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sold in his field. Which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Then he says, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. I want to read again from verse 31. The Bible says that another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Now, Jesus Christ, I've said it here a few times, when he was here on earth, tried his best to help us to understand what the kingdom of God is about. And the Bible says that he likened the kingdom of God to several things. One of the things he likened the kingdom of God to is to a grain of mustard seed. What it means is that the Bible says that the grain of mustard seed is one of the, if you want to call it, insignificant seeds on earth. It tells you that what Jesus was trying to say, it was a parable. And the parable meant that anytime you're dealing with the kingdom of heaven, you come across things that are insignificant to the human eye, or if you want to call it even to the human sense. The things of the kingdom of God are very irrelevant when it comes to God, when it comes to human beings. Are you with me? Are you here? You see, so if you want to look at the kingdom of God, the only thing that will make you understand what the kingdom is about is the insignificant things that are in the kingdom. For example, Jesus Christ, when he was born, when Jesus was born or when Jesus was going to be born, nobody knew about it. In the day when Jesus was born, that which was significant was the taxation that Augustus Caesar had actually commanded. There was no information. There was no WhatsApp message. There was no text message. There was no phone call about the fact that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was being born on that very day in Bethlehem. There was nothing about that. In fact, when the wise men followed his star to go and find out about him, when they went, the Bible says they saw the baby in a manger. He was born in a horse stable. I mean, that is not where a king, someone who created you and I, when he's coming to the earth, I mean, you will have to expect some grandiose entry. You'll have to expect something big by fireworks. But Jesus is saying that the things of the kingdom, they are not like that. I was talking to the young people yesterday, and I was telling them that, you know, sometimes when people see me on walking around normally, like, they don't know who they are dealing with. And these days, I just feel like introducing myself better, because people don't understand who I am. Because if you understand who is speaking to you, like Jesus told the woman of Samaria, he said, you ask her, you ask me of living water so that you will thirst no more. I mean, if I don't have even anything to say, I can tell you straight in your face that I've been doing this work since 1996. I've been preaching since 1996. Many people in this church were not born then. And therefore, when I'm speaking or when I'm preaching and I'm saying something about the Bible and about church, you better keep quiet and listen. Because you are dealing with somebody who has been preaching for many, many, many years. Not someone who just started preaching the other day. You just came here, you saw me. But you don't know what is behind me as I'm going. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. So, like, for example, yesterday, a young guy, you know, when I was preaching, they were sitting at the back and they were talking, three guys. They were talking. I was preaching and he was talking. So I stopped at the point and I said, you know what? Keep quiet. You know how these black boys are? Very ignorant. So I really, you know, poured my heart out. And then the guy, rather, who he was talking to, got offended. So when we got to the point where we said, I was introducing, asking them, if you're here for the first time, stand up and, you know, introduce yourself. They didn't even want to stand up. So when I got to this other guy, the guy that I was rebuking, he stood up and introduced himself. The guy that he was talking to, rather, got offended. So I asked him, are you here for the first time? And he told me, my last time. I said, oh, I understand. As for last time, we've had a lot of people who are here for the last time. It's not a problem at all. It's your problem, rather. And as we were talking, introducing him, he just got out and then he just walked out of the church. So I said, you go. You will not live long. And you watch it. If he will live long. I said, you will not live long. You don't walk out on a pastor. You don't walk out of a church. You are disrespectful to God. And you will not, you will die early. Because when people see you, when they see things about the kingdom, they don't respect it. I am very amazed how many pastors are contesting for local government elections. I'm surprised. I'm very, very surprised how pastors don't regard the kingdom of God because it looks so insignificant. But then when it comes to politics, when it comes to counselors for a particular area, they are trying to present themselves as people who can help build roads, help clean the place. Is that what a pastor is supposed to do? It is because of this parable. Jesus put forth the parable and he said that the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, one of the most insignificant seeds. Now, if you do not believe, that's what the Bible said. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, isn't it? You must believe that you have them. This thing we are doing is a lot of belief. You don't believe it, you cannot survive. I tell you, if you don't believe what we are doing, you will not survive. Because there are many things about this. When we came here to Guyana, whoever thought that entry, that insignificant entry in 2005 will bring forth something like this. This is what Jesus is talking about. It looks so insignificant. But at the end of the day, he says, go back to a man took a sword in his field. You take a seed that you cannot even see and you put it in the earth. I mean, you're worsening the case. And he goes on to verse 32. What does he say? He said, which indeed is the least of us, but when it is grown, you wait and see when the kingdom, when the seed is grown. And that's what many people don't have patience for, to wait for that thing to grow. Many people can't wait for their blessing. Many people can't wait for their breakthrough. Many people are in a hurry to see, because it's like when you see things, you are impressed by what you see. But the kingdom of God, it's not flashy from the outside. When you look at it, you can easily not be impressed. That's why when you introduce yourself to someone, I'm a pastor, people don't respect you. It's a pastor? What is a pastor? If you say you are an engineer, you are a lawyer, you are this, people will respect you more. Because the things about the kingdom is very insignificant. Yeah. But those of us who believe in it, we will stick to it and we will speak about it and all of that. I was telling them that as I'm standing here Saturday and I'm talking to you, there are people who are working for me in places right now as I'm praying, as I'm speaking. You can see them. As if you like, come Sunday morning, you see them. Yeah, you see the cars that come here every morning. The taxis that come here every morning. You should go and ask. Just take a taxi and say you're going to Lighthouse and see whether they can bring you. And take a taxi and tell them you're going to another church. See whether they know where that church is. Yeah. It's very insignificant. When we came to Spot 7, it was like we've come to a dance place. We've come to a cafe. Some people didn't even want to come to the church. But now, one girl was telling me yesterday that they were talking about noise nuisance in school. And then there's somebody who lives here said that there's a church, Lighthouse Chapel is a noise nuisance church. And the girl said, hey, it's my church. What's your problem? Yeah, they were supposed to take, they were doing that discussion or whatever. And they were supposed to take cases and bring it up. And the guy is telling the teacher that there's a church in his neighborhood, Lighthouse, which is it's a noise-making church. We'll play our music every Sunday morning. You can't take that away from us. You cannot take that away from us. For about 15, 20 minutes, I will make music. And you have to have a demon to be disturbed by the kind of sound we make. You got to get that evil spirit. I don't know where that sound comes from, but where I live, I think the sound comes from Sophia or somewhere. Where I live, every Saturday night, you can hear it all the way. Nobody goes to tell them anything. They play music when you're sleeping. The DJ says, oh, yeah, from the East Coast. Yeah, you know that thing they used to rap? And then nobody says anything. We are all in our houses and they disturb us right in our houses. It's okay. So when Sunday morning we are also serving God with our music, don't also come and tell us we make noise every morning. Yeah, because the kingdom of God, it looks so insignificant. You know, so Jesus began to share a few things about the kingdom. And he goes to verse 33 and he says that another parable. So he spoke about the kingdom, Clive. So somebody will see you like this. What is that? You use what? But you see, they should think about 10 years from now rather than now. Because you may look insignificant now. But 10 years time, they will say, what? I know he. Yeah, he used to be around the church enough time. I didn't know. Yeah. You wait and see. So anytime you are in the kingdom, you see things that are not flashy. So another thing that Jesus spoke about in the kingdom, and that's what we are starting to deal with from this morning, is that another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. Are you learning about the kingdom? No, you in this kingdom, you should not be attracted to flashy things, really. Flashy things, most of the time, don't have anything in them when it comes to the kingdom. Yeah. No. Yeah, I mean, if you've lived a little bit, Michelle, you've come early today. Wow, I'm impressed. If you look at, if you look at a beautiful woman, it's most of the time, they don't have anything. All they have is their face. In fact, there are some women who would like to dress, you know, because they don't have anything, they are trying to cover it up. It's true. Yeah. Oh, I know one or two of them in the church. Yeah. I mean, generally in our church, we don't have that. But I know one or two people in the church who are like that. Yeah, can't spell their name or anything. But if you see the shoe they are standing on, hey, my God. Yeah, the shoe be glittering. Uh-huh. Because they have to shift your attention off the head to something else. Yeah. But, you see, so As a Christian, you should be very, very careful when you meet people. Because you may meet somebody who will actually change your life forever and may not even know the person. Yeah? Oh, please, take notes. Take notes. Take notes. Most of the time, pastors who are powerful, they don't even go by titles. Yeah. People have all sorts of names. But they don't have anything. I know a pastor who has a very big name around. But his church building has been sold. Because he borrowed money from the bank for his church building. And all his bigness couldn't pay for the building. Now, if you are that big, why can you not afford a building? So you make things look bad when you appear so high and mighty, and then you can't do anything. It's bad. I was telling the young people that, you know what, you can go around, no, don't especially the young men. They go around very arrogant and proud, but there's nothing in their head. Empty head. If we start talking about the real facts, you will not be happy, but that is your state. You didn't finish school. You can't speak English well. You can't dress properly. You don't know how to take care of yourself, even to take care of another woman. Let me not go into the facts of the matter. But you see, when we say it, you may be a little offended. But that's a fact. That's the truth. Yeah, you can. You see, and some of the girls, can you cook for a man for the next 50 years of your life? You think it's a joke, Ashana? You think it's a joke? When you're looking for a man, can you take care of a man for 50 years? Can you handle a man who works from the morning to the night? The only time you see him is when you are sleeping. Can you live with such a man? Can you handle it? You think it's all like a fairy tale? Hey, yes, Pinky. You don't see him. When you see him, it's the morning when you are going, when you woke up, you are going to work. That's why you see that he's lying on a bed. Can you handle it? Will you go crazy? Will you say, I ain't able no more? No. There's something that must be in you that must affect you to be able to handle these things. So life is not just how you people walk around and show. Hey, I love him. You can't tell me anything about that. Okay, let's wait and see. Yeah, Florissa, isn't it? If you can marry Mike, yeah. Ah, Mike? What? Ah, Linton. Man, all these years to live together is not a simple thing. Yeah. Now, the Bible says that the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took. This is not a man took, but a woman took. And hid in 3 measures of meal. Forget about the 3 measures of meal. It's a little confusing, but you forget about it. Till the whole was leavened. What Jesus is saying is that the kingdom of heaven is like when a woman is baking. Shemiva, are you there? It's like when a woman is baking. Now, when a woman is baking bread, when you do, you mix up the flour and all the things you mix together. One of the things you put inside is you put in leaven, which is also called yeast. Now, you put in the leaven, and then when, again, it's very, very insignificant. Because when you have a mixture of flour with leaven, you will not see it until some heat is applied to it. Then what happens is that the bread or the flour begins to rise. So when you say an unleavened bread, you are talking about bread that when you apply heat doesn't rise. Now, the kingdom of heaven and the things in the kingdom are compared to yeast in bread, in flour, mixed flour that is put in fire. In other words, if you are in the kingdom of God,
There is something that must influence you. In other words, in a kingdom of heaven, it's like a certain effect that when you have it in you, it shows. What you do must have a source. What influences you is what I'm talking about. What influences you? Your actions and the things you do. What kind of yeast is it? Because you can have something influence you that is not the right kind of thing. What the Bible is saying is that in the kingdom, we are influenced. Are you influenced? Is the influence like unto the kingdom of heaven? That's what the Bible says. So you'd be surprised to see somebody who says he's a Christian, he's going to church. And then with time, you see changes. A lot of changes, Clive. Good changes. Good changes. Good changes. Now, if you buy bread, that is not, that doesn't have living in it. I mean, you won't be happy. It is only the licorice people who don't like leavened bread. Because once it's not leavened, then it's very heavy. Like Pearl Bakery bread. And what happens is that then it carries weight. And then the weight, rather, when you eat it, it drops into your stomach like that. Boom! And then when you drink water, then it begins to enlarge in your stomach. Then you feel nice. Yeah. So hungry people, they like thick and hard bread. Bread that hasn't got so much leaven. So that they can be satisfied. But if you, anybody who likes bread that is leavened, it's very nice. It's lighter, it's nicer, you know, and it's more precious. The influence of leaven is compared to the kingdom of God. To the extent that once you are in church and once you come to church, you must be influenced and you have to be influenced. Contrary to what people will say, that the pastor is controlling them. Or the church has made them to be like that. This is this. No. That is exactly what must happen. You must be influenced by the kingdom of heaven. It is living. It is living. It is living. After a while, when you are placed in fire in the kingdom of heaven, there must be some changes. There must be some influences. Some things must change about you. You must look different. People must look at you and say, hey, something has happened to this guy. Something has happened to this lady. As long as living is placed in you, you must change. I say you must change. Something good must happen to you. Yeah. The way you sell bread that is leavened, that's not the way you sell the ingredients together. Now, if you bring the flour, what else do you put inside? You put a little salt. You put in some what? A little butter. Put the butter. You put what? You put a little sugar. And then what else? You mix it. You mix it up. You know how to make bread? Okay. And then you mix it up. And then you put in yeast. I forgot that one. And then you put it in this baking pans or things like that. And then you heat up the oven. Okay. And then you just slide it in. Oh, now when that mixture is not in fire, when you sell it, nobody will take it. In fact, you offend people when you tell them, please buy this thing. You could bake bread. You could bake bread. Yeah. You offend people when you tell them to buy it. But they will look and say, what is this? So pre-mixed bread, bread that is prepared but not baked. Nobody will take you serious. Because who should take the risk of buying it and going to put. Now, if I put it in the fire and then my stove explodes, what's going to happen? No. But you see, when you go that extra mile and then put it in the oven and it's ready, the smell, the sight of it, the aroma. It's even when it's being prepared, when the aroma begins to move out of the gas stove and move around in the area, you say, somebody's baking some bread. It even advertises itself. And there's something about a bakery that is irresistible. Yeah. Yeah, there's some smell around when you're baking. Sometimes early in the morning or late in the night, you can smell it. Man, and there's nothing so delicious like hot bread. Yeah, hot bread. Oh, hot bread, fresh out of the oven. You put in some cheese and some butter and some ham and you press it like that. Then man, it's nicer. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, people, somebody's hungry already. That product comes with a lot of effects of leaven or yeast. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is also like that. And that you and I must begin to smell like bread that is being baked. We must begin to change like bread that is being baked in an oven. The whitish, whatever color, must turn into some what? Light brown. It can't burn too much. Yeah, nobody will appreciate it. But changes must happen. Now, it is very interesting that people come into the kingdom of God. People enter into the kingdom of heaven and they are not influenced by the right kind of things. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7. Yeah, what the things that you are doing, what is influencing you? What is the source of your actions and the things you're doing? Somebody who is in the kingdom of heaven, what is influencing you? The Apostle Paul says it to the Galatians, the church in Galatia. He says, you did run well. Who hindered you? You were running okay. You were coming to church all right. You were even into a church workers group. You were working. You were bringing one or two people to church. You were even preaching. He said, but what happened? What hindered? What influenced you? That you should not obey the truth? Verse 8. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Can you give me all the scriptures together? Can you do something like that? Then one like that. It's too little bit. I want to see all of them, then I can preach well. Verse 7. He said, you did run well. Adrian, when Pastor Isan met you first, you were coming all right. And then you disappeared. What hindered you? Yeah. Yes. You started well. You started well. And he said, who? Who hindered you? Well, Chris, I was asking Chris the other day, how long have you been in church? He said, seriously, 6 months. I said, but me won't hear no 6 months. When did you? He said, about 3 years ago, but he was not serious. He would come now and then it wouldn't come. It's like you start the race well, but then there's a certain leaven, a certain influence that you must be influenced. And the dough or the meal does not allow itself to be leavened, to have yeast inside. And as long as you come to church and you don't expose yourself to leaven or to the yeast, you won't change. I say you won't change. You will come, we will see you, we will say, you are my brother, you are my sister, so take me by the hand. No, there's something bad. There's no great influence in your life. They say, who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? He said, verse 8, this persuasion, this thing that you are showing, This thing that I'm seeing, it is not coming from the one who called you. Yeah, you check yourself. The things you do around here, the things you do as a Christian, is it coming from the one who called you? Is it God who is making you do the things you are doing? Because in the kingdom of heaven, it is God who should be able to make you do the things you are doing. Papi, yeah, the things you are doing, where is the influence from? Where is the persuasion from? Where's the persuasion from? All the offenses, all the anger, all the defections, all the divisions, all the talkings, where is that coming from? Is it leaving? Is it the kingdom of heaven? Is the source God? Verse 9. A little leaven is all that you need. It will leaven the whole lump. This morning, I want you to meditate. Think about it. Think about the power of what Jesus said in leaven. That as long as you are a Christian, you must be influenced to do the right things. If after a while in church, if after a while in Christ, you can't continue anymore, I doubt the source of your transformation. I doubt what you say is in your life. I doubt what you are professing to be, because Jesus told us clearly that when you come into the kingdom, you are influenced in the right way. Look at apostles who started this whole thing that we are into. Apart from Judas. And I don't think anybody wants to be a Judas in the church. Apart from Judas, the 11 disciples, they followed on. They were influenced. Lizzo, they were influenced in the right way. Yeah. Influenced. None of them sold their master for anything. Were influenced. They followed him. They obeyed what he said. They were with him all the time. Anything they said, they would do. I mean, they asked for explanations to some of the things that he was talking about. There were so many things they did together. They allowed them. And at the end of the day, in Acts chapter 4, when Jesus had left them, the Bible says that when the teachers and those who were learned in those days, when they saw the disciples and how they were preaching and how they were doing miracles, they were so amazed. They were so amazed. Because they knew that these were just guys who take their boat and go onto the Demerara River and just catch fish. And I'll look at them, what they're doing. Look at them, how they're speaking. It's like they have been to some very good school and they've been taught how to speak and they've been taught how to do miracles, signs, and wonders. Can you imagine that somebody who was a fisherman now from out of the sea now becomes somebody who prays for the sick and the sick gets well? It's somebody whose shadow falls on people and the people get healed. From a fisherman to somebody whose shadow heals people. You can see clearly that the leaven, the yeast, a little of it will leaven the whole lump. What is influencing you? And what are the things that you are showing around here in the kingdom of God? What is the source of it? Are you being influenced to do the right things or to do the wrong things? Stand to your feet, my time is up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A little leaven at the lump. Now, if the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, the kingdom of the enemy is also like unto leaven. I tell you, you can be influenced by the devil to do wrong things. You can be influenced by God. As long as you are in the kingdom, let's not even talk about the devil. Because the devil does not exist in the kingdom of heaven. Let the kingdom of heaven be the leaven that will affect our lives. Father, this morning, we bless you, we thank you, we honor you. We depend on you. We understand that your word says that what we are part of is like unto leaven. We compare it to leaven, yeast. that is used in baking. Baking powder that affects the dough, affects the mixture of flour and other ingredients. To the extent that it is attractive, it is edible, it's marketable. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that we will be influenced. We open our hearts, we yield ourselves to the influence of the Holy Spirit to affect us to do the things you want us to do, to affect us to be relevant, to affect us to be marketable, to affect us to go the right way. Thank you for speaking to us this morning. I know our lives are not the same again. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. You are here this morning, you are not saved. You want to give your heart to Jesus. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to be born again. I want to receive Jesus Christ. I want my name to be written in the book of life. Please pray with me. If you're here like that, I want to pray with you. While every eye is closed, every head is bowed. You want to lift up your right hand and say, Pastor, please pray for me. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven when I die. If you're here like that, just your right hand up high. Just your right hand while every eye is closed. Don't be shy. Don't be afraid. Don't hesitate because you don't know what's going to happen to you. Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. And after death, judgment. Pastor, please pray for me. Your right hand up high. And I'll pray with you. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. If you lifted up your hand, I want to ask you to come to the front. I want to pray for you. Come. Come. Come to me. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. Bless you. God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You want to join them? Come very quickly. You want to join them? It's never too late. It's better late than never.
And lead me to the cross where your love holds. Bring me to my.
All right. Just close your eyes with me. Lady and gentlemen, the Bible says you only believe with your heart. If you don't believe with your heart, it will not last long. If you love somebody, you don't love that person from the bottom of your heart, that love will not survive the test of times. The Bible says that if you believe with your heart, and if you confess with your mouth, then you shall be saved. It's a simple prayer you have to pray, but that simple prayer changes great things about you. Remember, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. You are just going to accept Jesus into your heart. And you give Jesus that chance in your heart. You will see what he will do with your life. Pray this prayer with me from the bottom of your heart. Church, join in as we pray together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. I open my heart and I invite Jesus Christ to come and live in my heart. To be my master and my savior. With all my heart, I believe that by this simple confession, my life has changed forever. Jesus is my Lord, and I'm going to be influenced by his presence. I believe that I'm born again. My name is written in the book of life. And I'm now a child of God. Thank you, Father, for the gift of eternal life.
through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.